This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Thursday is the day we read from your email, and we start today with the responses to Climate Connections. It's the series NPR launched this week about the relationship between climate and humans.
Many of you wrote about our story on the carbon atom. There was lots of praise for Robert Krulwich's unique storytelling style. Tony Sutherland emailed us from Brownsmead, Oregon, to say, had Krulwich been my chemistry teacher, perhaps I would have been more attentive.
We also received several notes that point out an inaccuracy in that story, specifically our portrayal of chemical bonds and the way they release energy. In an otherwise excellent piece, writes Ernie Louicart of Dorset, Vermont, Krulwich makes an egregious error in saying that energy is released when chemical bonds, such as those linking carbon atoms in fossil fuels, are broken. Not so. It is the formation of chemical bonds that releases energy. Well, here's Robert Krulwich with a response.
Some of you wrote in saying we should be a little more precise when we describe carbon bond breaking, so let's do that. When carbon releases its grip on other atoms by itself, that does not release energy. It's when it grabs on two oxygen atoms, CO2. Well, that new relationship is so comfortable and so stable and so effortless, there's a little extra energy left over, and that's the energy that we use. I hope that helps.
Also, as part of our Climate Connections series, we talked with a paleoanthropologist who studies ancient humans' adaptations to climate change. Heidi Werner of Rock Springs, Wyoming writes, I am in cultural resource management, otherwise known as archaeology, in the western United States. And I just want to tell you that the same climatic fluctuations spoken of in your story happened here, too. The altothermal is a magnificent climatic event that changed the way humans made a living roughly 6 to 8,000 years ago in North America. The archaeology out here in Wyoming isn't as sexy as the Bronze Age of Europe, but it's no less important to the understanding of how humans adapted to climate change. And by the way, we looked up the altothermal mentioned by Ms. Werner, and it's described as a continent-wide dry spell in North America with warmer-than-usual temperatures.
Some of you were alarmed or angry at hearing our commentator Julie Zicafu say in an interview that she traps and kills house sparrows because they are an exotic species that kill bluebirds and tree swallows. This email comes from Christina Journey of Bodega Bay, California. A bird lover is a lover of life, or so I always thought. Life includes house sparrows and even pigeons and starlings. Ms. Journey continues, would it be so difficult to transplant these unwanted species off of her premises so that life for these birds can go on? I admit, Miss Ikufu's justified her killing of house sparrows rather well. But then, so do all who control other unwanted populations. This evening's stories, Birds of Spring Fill Ohio Skies After Cold Snap, and Spate of Suicide Bombings Threatens Iraq Surge, have a lot in common.
Leah Holmes of Cranston, Rhode Island, had this to say about our interview on how the U.S. military is using the website YouTube to present its view of the Iraq War. When Russia's President Putin does this, we have a name for what they're doing: propaganda. I appreciate that your reporter challenged the characterization of the material as unfiltered. It is as contrived as mission accomplished.
Finally, last week we spoke with cellist Yo-Yo Ma about Mstislav Rostropovich, the conductor and cellist who passed away on Friday. Lynn Perkins sent us this from Boise, Idaho. As Yo-Yo Ma spoke of falling under the spell of Rostropovich, my four-year-old did. As the music played, my son's eyes widened and his body began to move. My feet are making noise to this twisting music, he grinned. I grinned too. Thank you for your story.
You can thank us, criticize us, or correct us by going to npr.org. Click on Contact Us at the top of the page.